So, Father, we ask that you would touch and that you would send your Spirit to anoint these words. That it would be more than words, it would be more than a sermon, but it would be a message that people would hear and receive. That, Lord God, that you would have your mighty way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James Dobson tells the story of a little toddler named Frankie. He was a handful, to say the least, and one day he pulled a chair over to the front window of his house and carefully placed it inside of the drapes. He was standing there staring out at the world when his mother came looking for him. She spied his little white legs protruding under the drapes and quietly slipped in behind him to see what he was doing. And she got there just in time to hear him say to himself in very somber terms, "I've got to get out of here." Do you ever feel trapped? Do you, or have you ever felt like you were at the end of your rope? What do you do when you reach that point? The realist would say, just tie a knot and hang on. The pessimist would say, you might as well let go, it's only going to get worse. The optimist would say, just tie another knot and keep on climbing. Each of those has its merits, but in reality, what can you do? Some are in that very place today. You're at the end of your rope. There's a long drop beneath you and you don't know what to do. What do you do when you are facing problems with your children that you cannot solve? What do you do when your marriage is on the rocks and the crashing waves of hopelessness are unrelenting? What do you do when there are problems at work and it seems like there is no way out? What do you do when you have too much month left at the end of the money? What do you do when you have followed a loved one's body to the graveyard and you cannot escape the loneliness, the grief, and the pain? What do you do when your heart is broken, your dreams are shattered, and your hopes have been dashed to bits on the cruel rocks of reality? What do you do when you're walking through a spiritual wasteland and there seems to be no way out? There's in the passage in the Bible that tells us about a poor widow woman who was at the end of her rope. She didn't know what to do or where to turn. And in her pain and her poverty, she did the only thing that she knew to do. She went to the man of God. And when she did that, God came through in a mighty, mighty way. This passage teaches us that the glorious truth that God has a plan for our problem. These verses show us that God, as just as God took care of the widow woman and her sons, He will also take care of us. When we reach the end of our rope, there is help and there is hope. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning a question here in just a little bit. And it's one that Elisha asked the widow woman. And our story is found in 2 Kings 4, 1 through 7. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves. What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." Elisha asked the widow woman, "What's in your house?" When she looked at her house, She saw all kinds of problems, but let me assure you this morning, God knows our problems. God knew what your problem was going to be before you ever got there. God knew what your problem was going to be before you were ever even born. God laid up for you a book of life that He has planned out your life already. Then you have a destination. You have a purpose. He has a plan for you. He has some place for you to go and people to touch along the way. God knows exactly what you are going through right now, but He also knows that the answer is on the way. Just as Abraham was going up the side of the mountain with his son Isaac and was prepared to sacrifice him, God already knew he was going to go and had the ram going up the other side. God knows our problems, and He has provided the answer for us. But before we get there, we got to talk about what the widow woman saw when she looked around. She looked at her house and she began to look, and all she saw was despair. The word cried means to moan, to weep uncontrollably, to shriek out of grief. This word identifies the sound of a broken heart. This woman comes to the man of God at the lowest moment of her life. She was in desperate straits. Have you ever been there? There was death in her house. The Bible tells us that her husband had died. Her husband, her friend, her provider, her protector, her confidant had been taken away from her in death, and she is broken because a loved one has been taken away. Have you ever been there? There was debt in her house. Since her husband is dead, she cannot pay her bills. And as a result, her creditors are coming to take her sons as slaves. According to Hebrew law, a creditor could take the debtor and his children as servants, but he was not to treat them like slaves. She was been deprived of her husband. Now she is about to lose her sons as well, and she is over her head in debt, and she doesn't see how she is going to make it. Have you ever been there? Yes, there were problems. But what you see is what you get. Proverbs says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." When you look around with your eyes and you begin seeing things, what you see is what you get. You see, there was once a farmer who had two buckets. He used them to bring water home every day. One of the buckets had a crack and leaked continuously. So the other bucket was perfect and never spilled a drop. As time passed, the cracked bucket became sad about all the water it leaked, and it decided to speak with the farmer. Upon learning that it was sad, the farmer asked the bucket to join him on a walk. And they walked down the same path as always. But this time, the farmer pointed out all of the wonderful life that had sprung up around them. He explained to the bucket that the cracked bucket was responsible for all of this. He said, if you hadn't leaked water every day as the farmer went back and forth, then the beautiful plants would never have grown. You ask, what's the point of this illustration? An old cracked bucket saw itself as virtually useless, when in reality, it was vitally necessary for the life and the beauty around it. How many of you see yourselves as fairly useless, or at the very least flawed and not as good as others around us? You may see yourself as boringly adequate. You know, there's another version of this story where the cracked bucket was talking to the perfect one. Oh, I wish I could be like you. You do your job so well. You are carried straight into the people's house to serve them while I sit out here by the washroom because I'm only half useful. The perfect bucket was surprised to hear this and responded that he always envied the cracked one. Not only did he water the beautiful plants along the way every day, but he got to sit outside each night and take joy in the light of the stars and the moon, while the perfect one was shut up each night in the house with the people and never got to see the stars. Most of us see ourselves as just a matter, and what we see and how we see ourselves is our point of view. We know all of our failings, and for us, they stand out like lights in the night sky. But others don't see us that way. And we know that God doesn't see us that way. God sees us as his child. In spite of her problems, this woman still held firm in the grip of faith, because not only were all of these things there that we've talked about, debt, despair, and death, there was also devotion in her house. In her desperation, she turned to the man of God for help. And Elisha was God's representative on the earth. And she reminded Elisha that her husband feared the Lord. She reminded Elisha that her husband had served the Lord and trusted the Lord. And her life had been a life of devotion to the Lord. And in her trouble, she still trusted God. And as I was thinking about this and how that she had turned to God and how that God is there, and that there may have been all of these problems around, but what you see is what you get. And she began to see God in the situation. She began to see the devotion that had been there in a life serving God. Amen. And she began to trust him. And I began thinking about Elevation Worship's new song, Trust in God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire time after time. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood, and what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. He didn't fail you then. He won't fail you now. Oh, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. And that's why I trust him. In spite of her pain, her problems, and her lack of possibilities, she still looked to the God for help that she needed. Even though she couldn't see a way out, she knew that she couldn't do everything. Even though she didn't understand everything she was facing, she still believed God and cared for her, still believed that God could provide, and still believed that God had an answer. At some point, every person in this room will go through a trial of a lifetime. Some of you are going through it right now. Some of you have already been there and can testify to it. And some of you, it's still coming. It's that point when you don't know what you're going to do. Everything seems to be falling apart. Nothing seems to be going right. And it's that trial where you are going to make it or break. Are you still going to trust God or not? How are you going to see it? Are you going to see it as a trial that can't be overcome? Or are you going to allow God to move in the situation and take you higher? Jesus said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. When you reach that point, the world, the flesh, and the devil are all going to tell you that God doesn't see and that he doesn't care. You know, and I keep going back to the fact that when Elisha was talking to the widow woman, and he asked what she had, and we're going to talk about this here in just a minute, but she said all she had was a little flask of oil, and so he told her to go borrow pots and buckets and barrels from her neighbors. And then he said, take him inside and shut the door. And I keep going back to that and thinking, God, why are you telling her to shut the door? And I think it's got to do with her neighbors. Because anytime you're in a trial and you're trying to trust God, you've always got that neighbor that comes by and says, oh, honey, things can't get any worse for you. I don't know how you're doing it. Oh, you might as well just give up. God said, tell her to shut the door. Shut all that negativity out. Because you need to hear from me. And I'm going to speak to you, but you can't hear me when all that other noise is going on. Shut the door and get alone with him. Because you see, the fact is that we may not think anybody sees what's going on. We may not think that anybody cares, but God does see. God does care what you are going through. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. You know, sometimes it's hard to be loyal to God when you've got everybody around you. Amen or oh me. God sees what you're facing. Not a single thing is hidden from his view, and he does care. He cares more than what you know and will ever know. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Even though we may have problems and they may seem to be insurmountable in our eyes, a lot of times those are just God's opportunities in disguise. Because you see, no matter what you face in this life, learn to turn to the Lord. Learn to trust in him. He will work in your behalf. He will meet your need. He will do what he needs to do, and he will release the potential inside of you. It would have been easy for Elisha to have said, okay, sister, you've suffered enough. The Lord is going to meet your need. Just go home and wait for him to work. But he didn't tell her that. Instead of taking that course, the Lord chose to involve this widow in her own miracle. You see, God was erasing her faith in herself. Elisha came to her and asked, what do you need and what do you have? He made her face the reality and the greatness and the vastness of her need and realized that she couldn't meet on her own. So he was trying to erase her confidence in herself, not her faith in God. And he was trying to expand her faith in God. You see, we've got to get to the point that we realize we can't do it on our own. Whenever we are working and we think we can, he won't. God expanded her faith personally. Elisha asked, what's in your house? She couldn't see it, but God had already given her the very thing he was going to use to meet her need. He expanded her faith publicly. The widow went out and had to send her sons out to ask all of her neighbors for all of these buckets. They're going out there and they're asking for all these buckets and they're saying, what do you need these for? Well, God's going to meet a need. That's stupid. But you're crazy. That's why they had to go back and shut the door. What makes you think God's going to do that for you? What do you think this widow woman told her neighbors? Did she say, that crazy preacher told me to do this? Don't ask me why, but I want to borrow some empty jars, pots, and pans. Did she say, I'm flat broke, but God is about to meet my need? Did she go on to say, I don't know how he's going to do it, but the man of God said, borrow some pots. I don't understand it, but I know God is going to make a way. See, what you see is what you get. How do you see things? How do you perceive your situation right now? When we're there and God comes through for us in a big way, it speaks volumes to those who are watching us. Your life is a brilliant advertising billboard for God's grace. God said, you are His masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. But God also met her need and expanded her faith privately. Faith moved in that widow's heart. So she obeyed the Lord and she borrowed the vessels and she and her sons shut themselves up in the house and God met her need miraculously. We had a preacher, a pastor, a long, long time ago. And I remember him preaching on this verse. And when he preached on this verse, he had little buckets scattered all throughout the sanctuary. And he had one of those, this is Brother Rich. So it's been 30, 40 years ago probably. No, not that long. I'm not that old. I would have been 12. That wasn't then. I was married. So it's been 20 years ago, but I still remember it. He had this little bottle. You remember the little baby bottles that would be have yellow orange juice or white milk in them? Little magic bottle, and you would tip it upside down, and it would all fill out into the nipple, and then you tip it back up, and then there it was again. So I remember he took one of these bottles, and he went out and grabbed all those buckets, and he'd fill it till it was empty. And then he would go over and get another bucket, and then he would pour it in there, and then he'd take the bottle back up, and there was still oil in it. That's exactly what this widow woman was doing. She went and got buckets from everybody she could. And God filled every single one of them. And as God worked in her life, she became a work of art to the people around her. She began to have a testimony that said, God filled my need when nobody else could. When the Lord shuts us up in a place of total dependence, His people will see Him come through for them time after time. That was Elijah's experience in 1 Kings 17. It was Daniel's experience in Daniel 6. It was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's experience in Daniel 3. It was the widow of Zarephath's experience in 1 Kings 18. It was the experience of the 5,000 who were fed with the loaves and the fishes in John 6. It was the experience of the disciples on the stormy sea of Galilee in Mark 6. And this is the experience of every child of God who is placed in a position of total trust and dependence upon Him. God delivers and sets them free. God meets them in their point of need. But Elisha asked the widow, what's in your house? God often begins with what we already have. Moses had a rod. Peter and the disciples had fishing nets. Samson had the jawbone of a donkey. David had a slingshot, and this woman had a little flask of oil. What's in your house? What do you have? God has given us prayer and worship. Next slide shows Revelation 5:8. It says, when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. God has given us prayer. He's given us praise. He's given us worship. And there's something else that God has given us that many times we don't think about. God has already given you the victory. You see, we fight from victory, not for victory. Now, I want that to soak in. What do I mean by that? Before the battle had even begun, God told Joshua he had already delivered Jericho into his hands. Joshua 6. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. It looked dismal. They didn't look like they had a shot in the world. Nobody could get out. Nobody could get in. What were they going to do? Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its kings and fight its fighting men. What you see is what you get. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Nobody could get out and nobody came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, look, I've already delivered it into your hands. It didn't look like that in the physical. In the physical, it didn't look like they could get in. In the physical, it didn't look like they had any way in the world to win this battle. And so God told Joshua, don't look with your natural eyes, look with your spiritual eyes. And see that I have already delivered it into your hands. Call those things that be not as though they were. Speak in faith. See, I have delivered it into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests play trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse and the people will go up, every man straight in. See, I have already delivered it into your hands. We are fighting from victory, not for victory. God has already provided the way for us. He has already won the victory for us. He has already given to us what we have need of. And we should praise Him for it. It's said of the song of Moses that Moses and Israel sang when God drowned the Egyptian army in the sea, that there are 3 thines, 10 thous, and 11 thys, but no me's. All of the praise goes to Him. Psalms 115 verse 1 says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name goes all the glory for your unfailing love and faithfulness. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have the musicians come? We've just got a couple more scriptures. When Christ died and rose from the grave, He conquered the spiritual forces of evil. Colossians 2:15 says, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Satan was disarmed by the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus triumphed over Satan and all of his cohorts, and then He put them on public display. When Jesus died, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went to the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. When Jesus rose from the grave, He led a bunch of people out of that graveyard in a parade to demonstrate what had happened. He demonstrated, I am the king. I have power over death, hell, and the grave. You see, when Rome would win a battle, whenever they would go out and they would fight against another enemy and they would defeat that king, they would defeat that king and they would do one of two things. They would either behead that king. And when they did, when they had their parade going back into town to the streets of Rome, they would hold the head of that king up as a symbol and a sign, we have killed this king. They would either do that, or they would cut off the thumbs and the big toes of that king. And then they would lead that king through the town streets saying, we have defeated this king. We have cut off his thumbs and he will never hold a sword again. We have cut off his big toes and he will never stand in battle again. And I've learned that this week. With gout in my big toe, I've had to walk on the side of it. You know, it is hard to stand on that foot. You try to stand and put on your pants or you have to lean up against something because without that big toe, you can't stand. Satan was defeated. And God said, Jesus said, he made a public spectacle of them. He led these dead bodies out of the graves down the streets of Jerusalem and made a public spectacle out of his enemy. Said, I have defeated him. And so Paul tells us, fight the good fight for the truth faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have confessed so well before many witnesses. Fight in the Greek means agonize and speaks of an intense struggle against a foe or foes. It is an athletic term that refers to the attitudes and activities of a committed athlete. It describes a heroic act. It points to those who run the race and compete. You see, we've already won. We just have to compete to get the prize. We're fighting from victory, not for victory. Jesus has already won the battle. You can always tell if you're fighting for victory or from victory by the way you talk to God. How are you talking to Him? How are you speaking to God? Would you stand with me? Just like the prophet asked the widow, we need to ask ourselves the same question. What do I have in my house? What do I have in my life? You may think you are totally empty, but you are not. You may not have noticed it. You may not have thought it was important, just like the widow thought that little thing of oil wasn't important. You may not know what you have, but prayerfully seek the face of God and He will show you. He will lead you and He will make a positive change in your life. God will take what you have and use it for His glory, for His honor. Realize you are fighting from victory and not for victory. Realize what it is that you have been obeying, just like we talked earlier. Realize who it is that you have been serving. Have you been serving and seeking God, or have you been a slave and obeying fear and anxiety and anger and stress and dismay and despair? God wants to speak to you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, would there be one who would say, Pastor, I don't know. The Lord is my Savior. I don't have the trust in God that I need because I've never accepted Him. If that's you, would you come this morning? If you found yourself in a battle this morning and you look back at your life and you have seen that you have been obeying things that weren't pleasing to God and things that God didn't have for you, God wants you to have a life and have it more abundantly. How have you been doing? If that's you this morning, would you come? If you've got a need this morning, would you come as they begin to sing?
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
You can be seated. We're going to have our baptismal, so... Ayana, Elijah, if you want to come with me, we'll go back here.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Let's sing it again. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God is so good. God is so good. God.
It's always a privilege and an honor to be able to baptize someone. You know, to lead them to the Lord and to baptize is probably two of the greatest privileges that a person can ever have. And so we're so thankful for Ayana. We're thankful for what God is doing in her life and that she is making this decision to let others know what God has done for her. Do you want to say anything? Okay. I'm going to put your hand over your nose. Ayana, based upon your confession of the Lord Jesus as your Savior, it's my honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Love baptizing young people. Got such a life ahead of them that God can anoint and for His glory and for His honor. Thankful that Elijah knows Jesus as his Savior. Amen. You want to say anything? Okay, put your hand. Elijah, based upon your confession of Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's an honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
I don't know if we made this announcement before church or not, but next Sunday the Christian Cavaliers will be here, and they'll present music for the morning service, and then we'll have a dinner to follow, and the church will provide the meat, and if everybody could bring a covered dish and stay and just fellowship with us, that's how we get to know each other. That's how we get stronger as a family, just by hanging out together. So why not hang out with some food with us next Sunday right after church?
Do you want to stand? You want to sing? Amen. Such a beautiful group this morning. Glad to have all of you here this morning. Come back tonight for Bible study and service, and Wednesday night for Bible study, and Thursday night for prayer meeting. So thankful for everything the Lord is doing. Thankful for all of you this morning. Amen. Jack, you want to lead us in prayer, dismissal prayer?